Okay, everybody. Shkaya, thank you so much for coming this morning and being involved in our in this amazing program, the Beis Medrash that we have, the Gevaldige Torah that we're able to share with each other. It's a tremendous opportunity, tremendous chos. And I want to share my appreciation with the Shtibul, with Kehilas, with Mr. Abbasari. It's amazing that he opens up this house to us to be able to sit in the Torah. And to be able to miskash biyachad. So I really want to send my tremendous appreciation to Bisrael. Thank you for allowing us to do this. Oh, so we have an interesting aspect. This week's parsha told us about seeing the burden of your fellow, the animal of your fellow, that's suffering under its particular burdens. It appears two times. It appears, number one, in reference to someone who's your enemy and someone who's achicha. And the Gemara says over here, the Gemara brings proof that there's a specific mitzvah to not just engage with your friend, with your fellow, but also with his animal as well. Right? As the Torah tells us, V'salamta me'am hakim takim imo. You shall surely help him rise up. That matters the way I'm reading it, because based off the Gemara that we have just seen, it's not exactly clear what the mashma is, what is exactly the implication of what the Torah means. Is at what state is this animal being? And that, in essence, is the crux of the machlokes between Reb Shimon and the Rabbanon. Where is the state of this animal? The Chachamim understand, just to paraphrase the Gemara, has an interesting discussion about, is it specifically the parika, is it the unloading, or is it even in reference to the loading of the animal itself? The Chachamim's opinion is, when the Torah tells us to help your fellow, is it only in reference to the prika, or is it even in reference to the te'ina? Says the Chacham, no, the te'ina, that you could demand payment for. Obviously, if a person wants to go ahead and do a mitzvah further, go ahead and go do it. But the Torah is not requiring you, right? We understand the contours of halacha. The Torah doesn't just tell you nice things. It says, what is the contour? And it gives space for human interaction to say, okay, I want to go further than that. That's called lifnei mishuras hadin. So the Torah is telling you that the prika, you have to do for free. 100%, that's called being a basic mensch. But when it comes to te'ina, when it comes to loading the animal and loading the burden on top of the animal, that you can ask for. And I imagine the Pashat Svar is that the distinction between prika and te'ina is that prika is a little easier. It's something above, it's high up, so you put it down, as opposed to something which is below. You require more of your back involved. It gets much more investment. And therefore, you can possibly get injured. And therefore, that's why there's a distinction between the prika and the te'ina, l'gabi l'chacham. However, Reb Shimon says, no, both the prika and the te'ina, b'chinam. The Torah is expecting you specifically to go ahead and to help your fellow. Now, the Gemara says, nilman mi'ishneim. We see nonetheless from both of them, despite the fact that we get involved in nitty-gritty, what's the mashmais, what is the implication of the verse? Is it referring to specifically te'ina? Is it referring to prika? But nonetheless, from both of them, we learn a very big concept. That the concept, the idea of not causing pain to an animal and being aware of pain towards the animal is a da'araisa, is a biblical commandment, is a biblical concept. That we, God forbid, do not want to see animals suffering in any way, shape, or form. And therefore, says the Gemara, we derive from both of them, tzar b'alachayim da'araisa, as opposed to what? As opposed to rabbinic, as opposed to being a rabbinic ordinance. That the Chachamim came along and said, go ahead and do this and make sure not to do that. But no, the Torah says specifically, do not cause pain to the animal. So on the spot, if you take a look at the top Tosfos over here, the top Tosfos has a very interesting question. For those who are involved in Daf Hayomi, Maseches Avodah Zarah, beginning of the first half of the Masechta, I think it's Daf Yud Aleph, right? Tosfos brings from Daf Yud Aleph. The Gemara discusses over there about new kings. The new king and the old king, the king dies, his son, or somebody subsequently is appointed. The old property of the king is specifically when it comes to an animal. First of all, we burn most of it. The wife cannot marry that second with that wife, assuming obviously relationship wise. And then the animals, the susim or the chamor of that animal of that king, I apologize. What they do is they cut the tendon of the animal. They cut it, so therefore it basically is non-functional, right? You put it out the pasture, maybe turn it into glue. I don't know, but basically it's completely rendered unusable. So Tosfos asks a very interesting question. If tzar balei chayim, if causing pain to an animal is a biblical level, then why in the world for like a nice idea of showing respect, because apparently it is showing a sign of respect to the king. He's so unreplaceable. Even his animals can't be used again. He's just totally, we can't get over his sense of who he was. Why in the world are you cutting the tendon of the animal then? That seems to be so extra and so unhelpful and also painful. And yet, if you're not allowed to cause pain to an animal, why in the world, for this nice idea, we're causing pain? And this, Tosis brings a very big principle. He says, Elamai, we see from here a massive principle. That yes, when it comes to a good enough reason for Kavod HaMelech, for giving honor to the king, even if it seems to be an amorphic idea, an idea of like, okay, it's, you know, how do you define it? It could be in other ways. But nonetheless, if that was the concept and the way that they did it, and that was a sign of respect to the king, then it was unto itself, a justification to allow to cause, yes, pain to the animal. Which means, basic principle, Kavod HaMelech is seemingly, I wouldn't even call it a daraisa principle. There is Kavod HaMelech of like a king that's alive. It's, you know, Kavod HaMelech in a machal, right? The king can't give up on his own honor. He can't say, yeah, you walk ahead of me, go for it, it's okay, I'm fine. No, we have to have a certain respect. But this king's not even alive anymore. So it's like I said, it's a very amorphic idea. How do you really define it specifically? It doesn't have a strong, it's very non-tangible. And yet, nonetheless, that's what Tosis is saying. If you can find some concept of positivity towards it, that's enough of a justification. That's enough of a justification. And this is echoed, by the way, as well, if you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. I don't think it's in the chat that was posted. I believe it was posted in the chat. If you take a look at, if you have in the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Piri of Rivia, discussing specifically medical issues, it's actually very interesting because we today they have like these clinical trials, you know, like they have like these bunnies that they're putting like makeup on to see where they get cancer, you know, like they're injecting rats with poison. The kol davar hatzarich lerefua, and why do they do it? Because they want to test it on animals before they test it on humans. But if you're not allowed to cause pain to an animal, then what's the difference between animal and human? So says the Shulchan Aruch, kol hadavar hatzarich lerefua, anything which has a medical benefit towards it. Or the Shard Dvorim, by the way, it's pretty wide idea of like, it's anything for refuah or for other things. What are those other things? Right? That's what's, and it seems to be echoed in Tosis, that this nice, amorphic, non-tangible idea seems to be enough. Leis be'mishum iser tzar b'lechayim. There is no prohibition of tzar b'lechayim. If there's a medical benefit towards it that's going to lead us towards greater medical revolutions and understanding that this type of Shabbos makeup does not come off, it's enough, worth it. Yeah, exactly. And therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch, he quotes also, by the way, it's not a problem of using something which is, in a sense, darkei ha'amori, which could be chukas ha'goyim. It's also not prohibited. If it has a positive medical benefit, it's allowed. And he ends off, says the Shulchan Aruch, umikol makom. It's very interesting. Ha'oilam nimna'im dahavi achzorius. It's very interesting. You could have something which may be permitted according to the strict letter of the law, but there's space within there that a person could say, hey, wait a minute though, but that still doesn't fit with my sense of morals. But you get this very interesting thing where sometimes people say, someone like, you know, who feels uncomfortable with, let's say, shechita practices, that they're going to say, you know what, boy, I don't want this. It's mutter, it's allowed. Yeah, but maybe there's better ways of doing it. Just saying, I'm leaving in a, you know, maybe a open-minded idea, open-minded concept, that as much as it may be permitted, but there's still space to allow ourselves, but wait a minute, maybe I don't feel so comfortable with that idea, because we all have internal compasses, and we'll end off soon in a particular point. But the Noida Behuda, the very famous Noida Behuda, the Rebbe of Prague, he was asked this question, and he does not seem to be very happy that he was asked this question. It's very interesting. He says like this, I received a letter, I don't really know exactly who this guy is, but he wrote in a very nice way, but like, you know, my practice is like, I answer these types of questions. But really, he doesn't like it. I'll even jump ahead. He says, really, I don't even understand why I'm answering this question, because in the corpus of the Torah, who do we find were hunters? Not the best people, exactly. Who are the, like, it doesn't have the best precedence. Nimrod, right? Nimrod was not known as a very beloved figure in the Torah. And as Rabbi Rosenwasser said, also Esav. So like, what? Okay, listen, he doesn't quote Tuvukai. Nechanam, you have to know. You have to know, listen, but Nimrod and say two against one, you know, they say, right? So it's not necessarily the best practice, and it could even be it's dangerous. It gets into discussions. There's Rav Moshe about putting yourself in Mokum Sakana. Let's say you're like these extreme hunting where you're putting yourself in like the forest with like no food, no water for a week and a half, you're like extreme sports stuff, right? Are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to put yourself in Mokum Sakana for that? But nonetheless, says the Noi Behuda, and I'm gonna try to cut through the point, he says, but wait a minute, is it permitted? Is it not permitted? Is it allowed? Is it not allowed? What's going on over here? Are you allowed to cause pain to an animal? So he says like this, he says, he quotes from this Tosis, he quotes a few other Tosis as well, and he quotes also from this Shulchan Aruch that I just quoted a second ago, that if there is any form of Toeles, and this is the interesting part, Because what is hunting per se? Hunting is you shoot the animal. It's the fun and the sport of just running after the animal. But he says, nonetheless, that is considered to be a positivity. However, though, if you can turn it into something positive where the food can be used, obviously, for killing the animal and not shechting it, it's prohibited. But if you can use the skins of something, if you can use the skins and turn it into something positive, that's much better. That is much better to have. Says the Nabi Yehuda. So, what?
Even if you're not
shechting
it?
Or not so, yeah, even if you're not shechting it, the animal is permitted to get, you can get the skin. If he says something really interesting. The Nabi Yehuda says something really fascinating. He says, this animal running around, this wild animal running around doing nothing, it's not really adding anything so special to the world. You, by killing it and getting the oris and the wool from it, you're actually, in a sense, using and creating a benefit towards it. Talking about, you know, right finitzaitzis. Talking about right finitzaitzis. This bear was doing nothing, and now Baruch Hashem, you turned it into a mamish. Oh, you're being mechamim a rebbe now, right? Now there's some sabbat rebbe running around with a bear coat. Your mamish did an amazing thing over here. You turned it into a hil gazach. Oh, special. So if you can turn it into something which is a positive thing, then that's always for sure better. To do it stam, but says the you know, very important caveat. God forbid that you take the animal and you shoot it and you leave it to die. As opposed to killing it straight shot. As the rules watcher said last night, the best way to do it is the first shot, you get it done, good to go. You go home, you put the head on the... Assuming the head was left intact, you can put the head on the wall. But to leave it alone... I heard this all the time when I was a kid, like, oy vey, if the animal is just dying, it's a mitzvah to kill it. Have you ever heard that before? I heard that as a kid all the time, right? Oh, so maybe it was just like some psychopath telling me. I'm not sure. It's not just me. Okay, Baruch Hashem. I was like some psychopath, and there's like, yeah, you're just killing animals. Yeah, exactly. But if to leave it to just sit there and to die, that's absolutely prohibited. So again, just to be mesakim, just to give a basic summation of what we're saying, that although, yes, there's a prohibition of Tzar Bala Chaim, if there is some form or some fashion of a positive benefit that can be derived from it, then it's not prohibited. It's better to find some positive element towards it. But hunting probably is not the most Jewish profession. There's lawyers, there's doctors, of course, there's rabbis. Hunters is not really our thing. And I'll leave off with this last one thing. The Or Chaim in Parshas Noach is a very fascinating thing. As we know, for those who may not know, it's okay if you don't know, I didn't know this until for a long time, that before the Mabul, it was prohibited to eat meat. Famously, Rav Kook says that when Mashiach comes, we're going to go back to the door of Adam HaRishon, the high level, that we're going to actually go back to become vegetarians. Ayin Ayah, that's a beautiful pshat it says over there. There you go, that's what we're trying to do. Okay. So says the Or Chaim, very interesting. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Sanhedrin that after the Mabul, Noach Ubanov was allowed to eat from animals. That was the first time that people became carnivores, right? So how is it, so says the Or Chaim, it's very interesting. What was the permission that was allowed for Noach to eat from the animals? It's a fascinating idea, which is like a bomb idea. Says the Or Chaim, the reason why Noach Ubanov was allowed to eat it, because since they took care of the animals, Hashem said you're also allowed to eat from the animals, which is a pel de gazak. They spent how many days in the boat? They took care of it. You'd think if they took care of it, they then wouldn't want to become the ones to kill them. Isn't it fascinating? Says the Or Chaim, the reason why God said you're allowed to eat from the animals, because since you were metapolim and you took care of them, you're allowed to eat from them as well. So it's a very interesting idea. I would think it's the opposite. That if you were taking care of them, then you would develop a sensitivity to not kill them. So I want to suggest an idea like this. Is that no. If anybody is going to be somebody who's going to kill the animal, is someone who has developed the sensitivity to understand that they're entities, that they exist, that to take care of them, and then to do it in the most humane way possible. Adarabba, it's literally the opposite. It's specifically because Noach took care of it, and I lived with them, and took care of them, and lived with them, he is the only one. And of course, we hopefully, as the children of Noach, as the descendants of Noach, we have, in a sense, developed within ourselves, and hopefully should further develop ourselves, a sensitivity towards animals and towards their pain. They don't not exist, they're entities, they exist. I believe it's Rav Shan Shofar Hirsch says that when a person eats meat, they should think for 2 seconds and say that this is as close to a human as possible. It doesn't have a neshama, but you're getting super duper close to it, and you should take it with seriousness and respect. You're not just eat there, throw it in your face and throw it down, but to really develop a level of sensitivity, understand that this is something that I've created a relationship with, that we live in a world with other things. I literally walked out last night on my window, and what's on the window? A frog, which is probably apparently not such a big deal here. Anyway, but it's still new for me. So Yirsa Hashem Yizbarach, we should develop that level of sensitivity, and Yirsa Hashem Yizbarach, kol to asach nachat.